As we've discussed earlier, what a horrific experience the folks in the Gaylord area are going through. An EF3 tornado hitting Gaylord with winds reaching 150 miles per hour, wreaking havoc, two dead, at least 44 hurting. Touchdown as an EF3, as we mentioned, with winds reaching 150, and it was the first EF3 or greater tornado in Michigan since 2012. Remember the Dexter tornado. Meanwhile, a guy in the middle of it all, the executive director of the Gaylord Area Convention and Tourism Bureau, Paul Beachnow, who, frankly, Paul, every time we've talked has always been about good, positive, wonderful things. And I guess if we would look for that silver lining, the good, positive thing we can bring out of this horrific tornado is the people of Gaylord are united as one in helping each other. Good morning to you.
Hey, good morning, Paul. Thank you for thanks for having me on this morning. It's been quite a trying 3 days, but you know, as you mentioned, sometimes the worst situations bring out the best in people, and the way that our community has rallied around this tragedy has really been miraculous. And you know me, I've been with you on your show a few times, and I can always pull out some positives. But yeah, we're definitely hurting. I was able to tour a lot of the areas yesterday. I kind of wanted to stay out of the way on Saturday, but the amount of help that our community has received from surrounding communities, from people out of state, people that have checked on me personally, friends and acquaintances. It's been overwhelming in terms of how much people in our state care about each other. It's really, it's just really overwhelming is all I can say.
Well, we've only seen what we can see on television. Now, I know that obviously, anyone who wants to help, we want them to help, and you're going to tell us the best way in just a moment. But what they don't want right now is people deciding to go take a ride to the Gaylord area just to look at it. That's what they don't need right now. It's just not. Right. It's just it's problematic.
Yes, you know, and certainly, you know, people kind of want to see what's going on, and you know, a few more days of cleanup. I mean, instantaneously on Saturday morning, work crews were being organized. There were people from outside of the city proper that drove into town and found areas of people with chainsaws and trucks and just parked their cars, got up, and just started walking up and literally helping out and hauling branches and brush and debris. There was a system in place immediately for where debris could be taken. And people just rolled up their sleeves. They brought a bottle of water, a pair of gloves, and just started hauling material because it's amazing how much debris there is. I am about 4 miles east of kind of the one of the heaviest hit areas, and I have had pieces of shingle, pieces of pressed board in my yard, pieces of insulation, and then about 100 yards north of me is a heavily wooded area that got really affected by the tornado. There is all manner of debris, so it will take a while to pick all that up and move it and make sure that there's nothing dangerous out there. Our power's been restored. The electric companies, Paul, from around the area have been, there have probably been 100 crews here, and the speed and manner in which they can put up a power pole is absolutely fascinating. These men and women that do this,
God
you never
bless
know,
them.
I'll tell you what, you never know how skilled and how dedicated these folks are until you see them in action. It is just a thing of beauty when you need power and you see these trucks rolling up. I'm telling you, it is. If you see your electric people, you see your state police, you see your emergency workers, say thanks, give them a hug. I'm telling you what, they sprung to action. It was just, it was, I got to tell you, it was really
awe-inspiring. I can tell by your voice. It was awe-inspiring. And so it was primarily Consumers Energy, but I know that power companies from around the country and around the area come in immediately to help. They all have these agreements to help each other, and they do, and it really matters. And to have the power back on now in Gaylord is truly amazing. Where were you? We're talking with Paul Beach now, Executive Director, Gaylord Area Convention and Tourism Bureau, EF3 tornado hitting Gaylord, 150-mile-an-hour winds. Where were you when it happened, Paul?
So, you know, I was here with my son, is home from the Air Force for a few days, and we were home, and before he was getting packed up and ready to leave, and both of our phones went off simultaneously, and it gave us maybe about a 20-minute notice, and it was a very shrill on your phone. You have a red alert, and it was a tornado warning, which means that a tornado has been spotted.
Right.
It was literally moving in our direction. It said it's west of Gaylord, heading towards a little community called Spar, which is due east. So we took cover. You know, it was pretty quiet, and then we could see from the window the swirling of the debris, and so we immediately took cover, and we waited, braced ourselves, literally, and by it was miraculous that it took a little bit of a turn to the northeast from us, because maybe 2 miles east of me, it continued in another home up in that area. It took off half of the house. So, but the debris, as I mentioned, how far the debris spreads, we're going to be picking up debris for probably another week. It primarily hit the west. People familiar with Gaylord, we have a big business district west of I-75 in the vicinity of going west of town was the primarily commercial district. Our beautiful downtown was spared, our office was spared, all of our resort facilities and hotels were spared by this, and it touched down in a few neighborhoods. One of the neighborhoods I grew up in, and I went over there yesterday, and I just wanted to cry, because it lifted some homes right off of the foundation. A good friend of mine, Steve Haskey, he and his wife were cleaning out what was left of their garage. There was nothing. It took the house off the foundation. They did have a place to go and stay, but his spirit was, I just couldn't believe how calm he was. And his church sent volunteers. At one point, Paul, he said, we had to politely say, you know, we've got enough help right now. That was the response.
What can we do? What do you want us to do as people that want to help?
I'll tell you the best thing, that SeagoFoundation.org. You can make a donation.
SeagoFoundation.org. As we continue on the Paul W. Smith Show at WJR.